Blessed Life, the message by Robert Morris of Gateway Church. It blessed my life, and in turn, I want to release it and bless your life. So many in this church have been walking in that blessed life, but yet I still try to preach this once a year because we have new folks coming in all the time, new graduates, a fresh start, need to get started in walking in this, this principle of giving, this principle of the tithe. Today, I want to start out with this part. We call it consecrate the firstborn. And if you would, go with me to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus 13. You know, in this story, they had come out of Egypt on their way to the promised land, receiving a lot of instruction. And in Exodus 13, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says this. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animal. Everybody say consecrate.
Consecrate.
Now say belongs to me. Okay, so he is telling them and giving them to this to pass on to their children, their children's children, when they go into the new land. He said, make sure you do this. Consecrate the firstborn to me. In other words, you're going to sacrifice the first of everything, the firstborn male of everything, of all the increase. I want to bless your crops. I want to bless your livestock. I want to bless your family. But the first belongs to me. It doesn't say the first belongs to you for you to decide what to do with it. God's already telling us the first belongs to me. In other words, it's not yours, it's his. Amen? The first already belongs to him. The first is not yours to decide what to do with it. The first belongs to the Lord. Amen. Everybody see that? So he said, consecrate this. In other words, separate it, devote it wholly unto me. The way you devote something holy to the Lord in the Old Testament in your cattle or your flocks is you devote it by killing it, sacrificing it, giving it to the Lord. And the first belongs. And this is a principle. Okay, the first belongs to the Lord. Amen. Now go with me to verse 11. And after the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as he promised on oath to you and to your forefathers, you are to give over to the Lord the firstborn of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock, there it is again, belong to the Lord. Everybody circle the word belong. So whose is it? It's the Lord's, okay? So he's reminding them, now, I'm about to take you and bring you to the promised land. The land I promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that I'm going to give to their descendants forever, I'm going to give it to you. I'm giving you this land. This is my land. I'm giving it to you. And I want you to honor me and keep this covenant. The first of all your increase is going to belong to me. He's making sure they got it. Okay? These Old Testament principle, new covenant revelation. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we're looking at it. The first belongs to the Lord. Now he says in verse 13, redeem with the lamb every firstborn donkey. Okay? The firstborn. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. But I want you to redeem with every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. So he's actually saying, hey, the firstborn belongs to me. But I don't want you to kill your firstborn baby. I want you to redeem it instead. The firstborn belongs to me, but rather than kill it on the altar, don't kill your child. I want you to redeem it with a lamb. So instead of giving your son, I want you to kill a lamb and sacrifice the lamb for the son. Instead of giving your donkey that you're going to need to carry stuff, you can purchase that, redeem it. You can buy it back from me. It is mine, but you can purchase it back. You can redeem it by giving me a lamb instead. If you don't give the lamb, then break the donkey's neck because the donkey's mine. Hello? So it's establishing the principle. The first belongs to me. Amen. Now notice, you know, In the Old Testament, they had clean and unclean animals. Clean that they could eat, and unclean they weren't supposed to eat. Notice that they were using the clean to redeem the unclean. Okay? The lamb, a clean, was sacrificed to purchase the unclean donkey. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, was sacrificed to purchase sinful, unclean man. Amen. Amen? Everything in the Old Testament is a picture of Christ. So that's a principle too. The clean, the holy, redeems the rest. All right? Redeems the unclean. So he's telling them, and he's making sure they understand, you're about to go into the promised land that I'm going to bless you with. Now I want you to remember where your blessing comes from and give back to me what is mine. Amen? To honor that covenant, to remember. Praise the Lord. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Now watch this. Chapter 13, verse 14. In the days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Now here's what's going on here. They move into the promised land. They start taking over the cities, the towns, the fields, and everything. They, you know, the wickedness is gets slaughtered, knocked out, and it's given to the people of God. All right? This whole earth is going to be purged with a fire, and it belongs to God, and he's going to give it to us. We're going to inherit the whole earth. Okay? Wickedness is going to be purged. Look, wickedness is being purged right now by the fire of God through his word. But those who don't accept that will be purged by the fire. And the world's going to be purged, and we're going to receive the whole thing. Okay, you got that? So now look, we remember this. When you go into the land, okay, so here's, they go into the land, they start, their flocks and herds start getting blessed. Their sheep are multiplying. Their cattle's multiplying. Their donkeys, their camels multiplying. And every time it multiplies, here they're working, the sons, and they're all working with the dad and all this cattle and all this field and all this farm. But every time a calf drops a new one, daddy goes and kills it. You know, kills the firstborn of each cow, the firstborn males of everything, the lambs, everything. And the son's starting to wonder, dude, what's going on with this? Dad, we've worked hard on this, and now you're killing all our best ones. You know, the brand new, the firstborn of each animal. Why are you doing this? So God is telling them ahead of time, your son is going to ask. Here's what I want you to tell him. Okay? Let's get this. Let's look at the story. He said, in the days to come, your son's going to ask, what does this mean? Say to him. Here's what you're to tell him. With a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both man and animal. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons. And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead. The Lord brought us out of Egypt in a mighty hand. They were in Egypt in bondage to slavery. Pharaoh wouldn't let him go 10 times in a row as Moses gave the word. And God sent plague after plague. And finally, it was the plague of the firstborn where death came into the camp and struck every firstborn of Egypt. And finally, Pharaoh said, okay, let him go. Okay? And they had to, the firstborn of Israel, remember they dipped a hyssop branch in the blood of the sacrificial lamb. The first time the Passover was sacrificed, that's when it came to be. The Passover lamb was sacrificed. They dipped the blood and they put it over the doorpost and death passed over. He's saying the firstborn of all of Egypt. He said, look, here's why we're doing this, son. We're doing this because your daddy wasn't always rich and free in this promised land. You see, I used to be a slave in Egypt. son, let me show you something. And he takes off his shirt and he says, look at my back. You see, your daddy wasn't always a wealthy man in a promised land blessed. I used to be a slave in Egypt, but God, with a strong and mighty hand, delivered me from slavery, from the bondage, and he brought me to this promised land, and he deserves the glory and the honor. So everything that belongs to me, I give him back, the first of everything, because I appreciate what he's done. You see, sometimes when my kids were little and I'd write my big fat tithe check, it used to not be big and fat, Tyler. But we started tithing when it wasn't, and then it grew. So we were faithful with the next step and tithed with that, and it grew. And we were faithful with that, and it grew. So I didn't want to say, well, let's stop tithing because now it's big. No, no. We tithe back here. Let's tithe here. Amen? And my kid would look at it and said, Daddy, why are we giving so much to the church? Why are we doing this every week or every month? And I could take off my shirt and say, look at my back. Your daddy always wasn't a preacher. I wasn't always saved and blessed. I used to be bound by the sin of the world. I was bound in Egypt. In a strong and mighty hand, God sent the Lamb of God, his first, to redeem me. He sent his clean to redeem the unclean, and he purchased me with his holy blood, hallelujah. And because he purchased me, and now I'm walking in the promised land, I want to appreciate what he has done every week, every month, for a solid 30 years. I've been giving my first to him back because of what he's done for me. This is why you let your kid carry the check and look at it, and you tell them why you honor the Lord your God and remember who is the one who brought you out. Does the first of everything in your life belong to him? Most folks in here, it does. That's why we're able to go, and this church is able to, the blessing that's in your lives is able to overflow out of you and bless 800 pastors that you're going to feed and you're going to house for 2 days as they feast on the Word of God. Some of you new folks or guests or visitors, I want to get you involved in that blessing by sharing this Word with you. The first belongs to Him. It's not even really yours to decide whether you give it or not. It already belongs to him. And now you decide if you rob him of it or not. You've heard the verse, Malachi 3:6. But you say, how have we robbed you, God? He says, in tithes and offerings. It belongs to him, and you have to give him what belongs, and then you decide what offering you want to give above it. That's yours to decide. But the first tenth belongs to him. Where do we bring it? Who do we give it to? Can I give some here and some to this television ministry and some there and some there? No. Bring ye the whole tithe where? Into the storehouse, the local church. Go with me there. Let's look at it. I want to relate this story, and we'll go back to it. Go to Malachi. If you go to Matthew and flip back a few pages, you'll see Malachi chapter 3. Verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. So this word you're learning in Exodus, he's telling us here in Malachi that many of them turned away from. After they were blessed, they brought out of Egypt, they came out of the slavery, their sons and daughters got blessed. After they were blessed for a while, they forgot the one who blessed them and they turned away. So God's rebuking them through the prophet. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord. So now they're having trouble. God's not with them in everything they're doing, and they're wondering why. And the prophet says, hey, remember who blessed you, turn back to God. And they said, well, how can we turn? But you ask, verse 7, but you ask, how are we to return? In verse 8, the prophet says to him, man, this might have stung a little bit. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. God says people rob him. What? Can you rob God? Seems crazy. Apparently so. How do you rob? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Verse 10, here's how to get out of that curse. Here's how to be blessed. Bring the whole tithe into what? The storehouse. Bring it where? It's not for you to decide. It's already decided. You bring the tithe to your local church where you belong, where you're a part of, okay? And then you do what you want with above your tithe. That's your offering. You have that choice. But you don't have a choice with the tithe. If you've been making your own choice, hear the word of the Lord, repent, change, and obey the word. But how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. The whole nation of you, because you are robbing me, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Wow, revelation on that. Not just that there's funds here to pay the light bill, not just there's meat here so we can give turkeys to 400 people or have a food bank to feeds the whole parish every month. Not just that we can start up Fresh Start and reach out to the lost. Not just that we can go to Africa and build churches and buy brick machines and bless people. It's not just coming. It's coming here that there might be manna from heaven, food from God to feed your spirit. Amen. Where churches are tithing, the word is alive. The word is alive here because you believe in it enough to give your whole tithe, and God keeps the word alive to feed your spirit. Well, Pastor Dave, I don't really get much out of, coming to church or hearing the word. Have you been tithing? That there might be meat in your house to feed you? Guys, it's quiet. This is a shouting message. I know most of you are tithers, so you love this message. But let the ones who need to hear it, let it sink in. Because God wants to bless you with the manna of his word. That when you come in here and you have sown and you have given, the revelation of the word will go to your heart. Bring the whole tithe in the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house to feed your spirit. And overflow to your soul and bless your children and your children's children forever. Is that amazing? Well, I want to tell you this. Verse 9 says, you are under a curse. You know what? You're not under a curse anymore, even if you're not a tither. Here's why. For all the parts of the Old Testament, all the parts we didn't do, Jesus became the curse for us. For all the parts that we do, praise the Lord, he did it all, and we get the blessing because of what he did. Amen? So the last word of the Old Testament is curse. The last words of the New Covenant is the life of God. Amen? So let me just say, Jesus became the curse for you. So is that any reason to say, well, I guess he became the curse, so he's not going to curse me, so I don't need a tithe. Would we think that way? Well, Jesus, praise the Lord, you took the curse, so, I'm going to have a new calf drop here. I'm going to have a new paycheck here. I'm going to have an increase. I just got a new job. But Lord God, you became the curse, so I can take it all now, right? Folks, I want to tell you the new covenant is not less of a covenant than the old. It goes deeper. For the new covenant deals with the heart of the matter of why you give, not just the observing the law to obey the law so you're not afraid of judgment. The new covenant goes, I give because I see what the Lord has done and I appreciate it so much. I want to give because I see that God's called our pastor to go to Zimbabwe. I see that he's called us to reach out across the land at Fresh Start. I see that he's called us to feed all these folks. I see what the kingdom is doing. And Lord God, I appreciate what you have done so much. I gladly bring the first back to you to honor your word. Not because I'm afraid of a curse, but just because I love you. Amen? Isn't that good news? Joy. Joy. When your son asks, what does this mean? Teach your children. They get an allowance, teach them the tithe. Teach them. Let them walk that check up. Let them pray over it along with you and your wife. Begin to show them the blessing. Begin to take them to your field and to your business and let them know, son, you see how the Lord has blessed me? I want to tell you, my job is blessed because I belong to him. So my job now, new covenant wise, instead of 10% belongs to the Lord, I see it as 100% belongs to the Lord. But he's given me a principle to follow. And I need principles in my life because the world's so shaky in so many things. So I'm going to honor that principle of 10%. Because if I didn't know what it was, I might be shaky one week to the next. So I'm going to honor that principle because you gave it way back in. Well, some would say, Pastor, you preach grace all the time. Or now because with the tithe, you're going to go back to the law? Well, let me clue you in, because you might have missed the earlier part of the book. The tithe didn't come with the law. The tithe came in the beginning. Praise the Lord. Cain and Abel. Cain brought some of his stuff. Abel brought the first of his increase. And it was blessed. And it said God honored Abel's offering, and he didn't honor Cain's. The tithe principle came with all the way back to Abraham. Abraham was 400 years before Moses. 400 years before the law, the principle of the tithe. God said, Abraham, come out of your land, come out of the world, and come into the kingdom. And I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing to the world. And Abraham and God had a covenant. It's a covenant with Jesus that Abraham stepped into by faith. Amen? So Abraham at one point was going to rescue Lot. And him and his crew, they went and kicked some tail. And they brought Lot back. And the way back, you know, they're talking about all the spoils of war coming. You know, and they want, and Abraham, you know, the 10th, Melchizedek comes out to meet him with bread and wine. Melchizedek is a picture of Jesus Christ. And Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, a tenth of everything he had been blessed with. He tithes. So really, Hebrews tells us this. Now this is deep, so just try to stay with me, but with your spirit, okay? Hebrews tells us that Abraham, praise the Lord, because Levi was still in his loins. Can you get that? Levi wasn't born yet. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 tribes. One of the sons was named Levi, and he became the priesthood. So here, the Bible says in Hebrews that Abraham tithed to Melchizedek the priesthood, but Levi was inside of Abraham. So Hebrews points out a spiritual thing that Levi, the priesthood, was tithing to the king. Okay, some of you get it, some of you won't. Levi, inside of Abraham, wasn't born yet, through Abraham was tithing to the king, where all the tribes of the law brought the tithe to the Levites. But here the Levite, the Levitical tribe, is tithing to the true priesthood, Jesus Christ. The Old Testament Levitical tribe of priesthood was tithing to the new covenant priest, Jesus Christ. It says it in Hebrews. I didn't make that up. Okay? Now watch this. So Abraham gives Melchizedek a tenth of everything. So Abraham established it. So Isaac and Jacob follow that. If you read the story of Abraham, you'll see Isaac gave a tenth of everything to the Lord. Jacob gave a tenth of everything to the Lord. So way back before the law, the principle of the tithe was established. And we walk as our father Abraham walked. It's a walk of faith. So we continue the tithe, praise the Lord, because it's a principle from the beginning to the end. Not because it's law or not because we're afraid of the curse. We praise the Lord. We do it because it's blessed. And it's the kingdom way to operate. Everybody okay? This good word, you're enjoying it? Amen. You love it? You don't want to hear any more about tithe? Does tithing message make you nervous or squeamish or something? You can slip out the side door. But as I told you last week, the reason why we love the tithe message, it's just a deeper revelation of Jesus. God sowed his firstborn. The firstborn belongs to him. He took his firstborn and sowed him as the Lamb of God, the clean, redeeming the unclean. But he didn't just purchase one jackass, he purchased us all. Jackass is a word for donkey. Don't get religious on me now. For whosoever will believe it. Amen? Now, dear God, which one of these parts do you want me to go to next? I have three. Go with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke 9. So, because I trust our leaders and the wisdom God's given us on where all this goes and what it does in the world missions and the local missions and this, I don't have to trust my own knowledge to think, well, I'm going to give my tithe, but I want to divide. I want this much to go here and this much to go here. By golly, my tithe's too good. I'm not going to let any of it pay for the plumbing bill at the, you know, fitness center. I want it to go to build a church. I want to go, that's wrong attitude. I'm going to give my whole tithe to the storehouse and let the leadership of this church have figured a good plan on how that goes out. And then if the Lord puts on my heart to sink a well or build a church or buy a motorcycle, I will do that above my tithe, but I'm not going to tell God what to do with my 10%. That belongs to the church and the leaders decide, because I trust them. If you don't trust, find a church where you do trust the leaders. Amen? Hallelujah. That's just a side note. I'm telling you principles of the best way to do it with your heart. These are heart things. This is the best way to how to handle it. How to handle your money, how to do things, okay? Because I know this is true. Luke chapter 9, verse 10. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took with them and withdrew themselves. Let's see. Chapter 9, yeah. He spoke about the kingdom of God. Verse 12. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away that we can go to the surrounding villages and get food and lodging, because we're in a remote place." So there's 5,000 men at this remote place, plus their wives and children. Bible scholars estimate about 20,000. And he's teaching and preaching a long time, and the disciples come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, it's getting dark almost. These people are hungry. Hey, send them away. They need to go eat." And they come to Jesus and tell him that. So, you know, and not all of them want to go mug Jesus and talk to him. So they say, hey, they tell one of them, "Hey, guys, go talk to Jesus. Tell him, look, it's getting late. And you know what? I'm kind of tired too. This guy's been preaching long. It's almost 12. Go tell him it's all getting late." And he said, "Well, I ain't telling him. You tell him." So we went, "I'll tell him. Jesus, it's getting late. The crowd's hungry. you know, send them away. Okay? He replied, you give them something to eat. Jesus keeps on teaching. He goes back to his posse. Well, what'd Jesus say? Well, guys, he said for us to give them something to eat. What? Did he see the crowd? Does he know what time it is? Did you tell them they need to go eat? They need to go home? I did. And what did he say? He said, you give them something to eat. So they were just kind of weren't sure what to do. So go back and tell them, look, we got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unless we go buy food for this whole crowd. So they send him back. And he says, Jesus, I talked to the guys and told them what you said for us to give them something to eat, but I wanted me to tell you, we only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And look at this crowd. So the posse's thinking the guy's going to convince Jesus, oh, okay, that's not enough. I'll send them home. And Jesus says this. But he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of 50 each. It goes back. What did he say? Did he say we don't have enough to send them home? He said, no. He wants you guys to tell them all to sit down in groups of 50. What? Okay. So they go out to the crowd and start telling them, hey, y'all organize yourselves and sit in a group of 50. You know, it's kind of hard to organize a crowd of 20,000, telling them what to do, right? Some are murmuring, complaining, but I'm hungry. Where do you want me to sit? So anyway, organizing a crowd. They sit, so they get in groups of 50. Let's see what happens next as we close this out. Then the disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks, and he broke them. So they gave him what they had. He took it, and he blessed it, and then he broke it. Now he gives Peter back a piece and says, hey, good, you know, I'm giving you what I had, and bless it. He didn't bless it and multiply it. He blessed it, and he broke it. And he gave them a broken piece. He wants you to go feed them now. He's got less than they started with. Now it's broken. Here, go feed them. Wow. Then he gave it to the disciples to set before the people. He takes that. I can see Peter, James, and John say, here's a group of 50. Here you go. Here's a piece of fish. No, don't take all of it. Got to feed 50 with this. Just take a little bit. And as they start passing around, it starts multiplying. And all 20,000 ate, and they took up basket loads extra. Here's the principle of multiplication in the giving. And I've seen it happen in this church over and over, where we kind of plan to, you know, maybe let's try to reach 50 pastors over here. And all of a sudden, God multiplies it, and we're paying to feed 879 in one city and 450 in another. How is that happening? Because we gave it to God, okay? He's the one that blessed us with what to do. We turned it over to him. Lord God, we can't do anything. It's all you. We gladly give our tithe and need you to bless it and multiply it. We give it to him. Now notice, it didn't multiply in Jesus' hands. It was blessed in Jesus' hands, and it was given back to them, and it multiplied in their hands as it was given out. You bring the tithe into the storehouse, and you give it to him, and he blesses it, and the rest of what the 90% and everything else is blessed in your hands now, blessed by the one you honored and gave to him. Now he blesses everything you do and everything you touch, and it multiplies in your business. It multiplies in your family. It multiplies as you do things. It multiplies because, praise the Lord, you brought the first to him, and he's redeemed the rest. You brought him the first, and he purchased and redeemed the rest, and he blessed it and puts the multiplication on it. Now, praise the Lord, in this little country church, hallelujah, it's multiplied to 10 nations, hallelujah. It's blessed, hallelujah. You give, there's meat in this house, and the meat, praise the Lord, is so overwhelming it can't be contained in one house. It's got to go to the nations. He that believes in me, out of his belly is going to flow rivers of living water. And everywhere the river flows, everything shall live. It's like a man going to a foreign country. And he says, look, I got a big business. I need you three guys to handle it for me. Here. Did you volunteer? He volunteered. Okay. So we're just going to call these guys Joe, Bob, and Sam. Joe, Bob, and Sam. Okay, this is Joe. So Joe, look, I want y'all to handle all the business, everything. I'm going to be gone a while. I'm sending you $10,000 a month. I'm sending you $10,000 a month, and I'm sending you $10,000 a month. And I want you to handle everything. You can use it as you see fit. For yourselves, for the business, for everything. Use it as you see fit, as a give you wisdom. But the first thing I want you to do, I want you to make sure you give 1,000 of it each month to my wife. I want you to take care of her first, and then use the rest as you see fit. You understand? You agree? I go away. I come back. Or I write, call Faye a year later. I call her more often than that, but, just for the sake of the story. Baby. How's it going? Is Joe, Bob, and Sam, did I get it right? Joe, Bob, and Sam, yes. She says, baby, Joe, every month, like clockwork, on the first of the month, that $1,000 comes just like you asked him. He's doing his role. What about Bob? Well, the first month, gave $1,000 just like you said. The next month he called, he had some things coming up. He had to buy a boat. Had to pay his camping fees, his hunting dues, whatever. Had some things come up with the kids. He just gave $800. But what happened the next month? Well, baby, the next month he said he got in some trouble and stuff, and he only gave $300. And then he skipped 2 months, and he came back. He caught up with that. He gave $400 and then $300 and $200. But it's real sporadic, and sometimes he gives some. I can't count on that one. I said, well, what about Sam? Well, Sam started giving the $1,000, but you know what? He started doing well and everything, and now he's given me $1,500. He went over and above what you asked. He said, okay, no problem. I got this. You, give me everything I gave in you. Everything. I'm going to give it to this guy because he knows what to do with it, and he does it. He that's faithful with a little thing, I'll give him more. And he that has will be given more. And he that doesn't have, even what he has will be taken from him. It's the opposite of the government. The government wants to take from him and give it to him. The church don't act like that. We don't give it to the one who doesn't know what to do with it. We give it to the one who's faithful with the little things and they're blessed. When I'm sowing into other nations, I don't sow into the need. I take folks with me and they get all moved on this need, that need, that need. Stop it! I'm not looking for need to give to. I'm looking for blessed. I want to give to the pastors who are blessed, who things are happening, who the word's going through. It's growing. I don't look for need. I look for what's blessed. If I'm sowing into a business, I want a blessed business, not a hurting business. Hello? You understand? So, man, let's be this guy or this guy. Amen? Not that guy. Y'all can sit down. Give him a hand. Okay, I'm going to close with this. Church, I love you. I believe that you understand my heart. I don't think anyone can leave here and go tell their kid or their family or whatever that Pastor Dave was talking about money today. And man is trying to get us to give. No. Well, I'm loving you and I'm trying to bless you with the word of the God, with the word of God. So you will understand, and I'm trying to encourage you. If you struggle with this, your limited income, this or that, I encourage you to pray about it with your wife, your spouse, your family, and step out in a part, and then, Lord, help me to grow in my faith to step out in another part. And Lord God, real soon, I want to be given a full tithe up front, Lord God, because your word says this is the only, I can test you on this. Lord, I'm going to try it the next 6 months. Lord, help me to understand this, okay? And I don't believe you'll go wrong, church, okay? I want to do this to bless you. Hey, those of you who own businesses or something, I double dog dare you to consider tithing off the quarterly business at the fifth Sunday offering. Lord God, you've blessed my personal income. Now with my business, I'm going to give a tenth of the business to you. I don't think you'll go wrong.